Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we're going to catch up with Bookshare and talk about some of the new initiatives and collaborations that they've been establishing with commercial publishers.
We'll speak with Betsy Bowman, who's the Vice President and General Manager of Literacy Programs for Bookshare. Betsy will describe a number of exciting new initiatives and collaborations with mainstream publishers, including Bookshare's new web reader, their personalized bookshelf, and their impact on the EPUB 3 format. And towards the end of the show, she'll be talking about their Diagram Center. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Betsy Bowman.
Keep the inputs coming, because as we explain to people when we go to places like CSUN and ATIA and other places, you know, we do listen to what our users say, and we work pretty feverishly to make sure that we can deliver on that.
And as Betsy points out, Bookshare is very customer-oriented. So if you let them know of your needs and what you like, what you don't like, they're very responsive to that, and they try to satisfy their users.
We often encourage our children to live by one of our philosophies, which is ask not, get not. And here's a situation where the organization of whom people will be asking for new things is actually encouraging their users to ask. So how much better can it possibly get?
But in general, with other companies and other places you might interact with, it's good to be proactive, and people can only address your needs if they know what they are.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about Bookshare's parent company, Benetech. Let's start by meeting Betsy Bowman. Can you start by introducing yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Betsy Bowman, and I'm the VP and General Manager of the Literacy Program at Benetech, and that is the program that runs Bookshare, the Diagram Center, and Route 66 Literacy.
Now, a lot of your customers and our listeners have print impairments, whether visual or otherwise. Do you?
I don't, actually. This is something that I am passionate about, because I'm passionate that everyone should have access to literacy in whatever means it takes to get there. And so for me, this is really a passion about, frankly, human rights and knowing how important literacy and education are to everyone. So that's why I do what I do.
So most people who don't have personal experience with print impairments don't even stop to think about that. How did you get involved in this field?
It's interesting. For me, it really comes through technology. The other reason I'm doing this is because I'm an engineer by background, and you know, I've spent many years in my career really kind of looking at how you can apply technology to solve different problems. And so for me, this was a chance when I met Jim Fruchterman to say, oh, wait a second, now I get to put a lot of these passionate areas together to be able to apply, you know, technology and books and an area where technology really makes a difference. As I tell people all the time, especially people I know from the technology field, and they ask, you know, now why do you do this? For me, part of this is that technology doesn't just make an incremental difference, it makes a huge difference. And so that really, all of those things together have drawn me into working on this.
Some of you may have met Betsy before. She was on this show in episode number 1311, which was part one of a two-part mini-series where we asked five attendees at the CSUN 2013 conference to speak to us about what they saw and what they said at CSUN. Betsy mentioned Jim Fruchterman. He's the founder of Benetech. And Benetech, one of their major programs is Bookshare, but they also have some other programs, and those are Route 66 Literacy, a web-based program that enables anybody who's literate to help teenagers and adults learn to read and write. They have a focus on human rights, where they provide science and information technology to human rights advocates. enabling these other people to do what they do even better. And they also have a focus on environmental conservation, and they provide project management tools that help people design, manage, monitor, and learn from their projects to more effectively meet their conservation goals. And we will be talking in the rest of this show about what the Bookshare program does and some of its most recent initiatives.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
As promised, this week's focus topic is Bookshare and some of their new initiatives and other progress.
So many of our listeners are, of course, familiar with Bookshare, and we have listeners from around the world, but I thought maybe you could briefly talk about Bookshare for folks who may not know what Bookshare does.
Sure. Bookshare is the largest online accessible library of ebooks for people with print disabilities, and growing by leaps and bounds every day. We now have over 176,000 books. If you ever want to know how many books we have on Bookshare, we have it posted on our homepage. As well, we have now around 240,000 users, and we have users in over 40 countries. That's a part that many people in the U.S. don't realize is the breadth of our international work. Bookshare is also one of the primary national suppliers in the U.S. for accessible materials for students. And that's been really, you know, a big catalyst of our growth is around the materials themselves, so textbooks, other educational materials that students use every day at all levels. Bookshare is free to students in the United States that are qualified because they have a print disability. And it's just been fantastic to be able to, you know, really dive into the educational field at all levels and also keep doing what we do. Bookshare literally started as Bookshare. So how can people share books? Because we had a bunch of folks out there who were scanning books for themselves, but then you'd have the same book being scanned by, you know, 100 different people if it was something popular so that they could read it. You know, in the old days, you know, just using a screen reader that might not be amazing at reading a book, but hey, it was a way to read the book. And Bookshare really was started now 11 years ago to really leverage all this work being done by people and be able to really scan once and share many times. Today, Bookshare gets most of our files through feeds directly from publishers, but we still have a vibrant volunteer network of people scanning and proofing books for us as well.
So just because we do have a lot of international listeners, I know there is some confusion about what's available to people around the rest of the world outside the U.S. Can you just clarify that?
Sure. Because of all these publishers that we've gone into partnership with, essentially, most of them also let us share books outside the U.S. with qualified users. So you still have the same qualifications, but basically if the publisher has rights in, say, Australia or in Ghana or in Kenya, they typically will still share those with us or let us share them in those countries. So in fact, it varies by country, but in most countries we now have at least 60 to 70,000 books available through Bookshare. You can say, oh, that's really great that you have a bunch of, say, American bestsellers, which for some folks is really great. But we also have books in other languages and are working with partners in each area we serve to try to get locally relevant content as well. So we did a major project last year and introduced Arabic. So we actually now have the world's largest accessible Arabic collection, which I'm sorry to say isn't as large as I would like, but we have about 100 books in Arabic. We have about 500 books in Hindi and Tamil. We have thousands of books in Spanish, and we're about to get about 3,000 more through a partnership with Random House in Spain. So we're going to keep moving on the international front as well, which is really exciting.
So our listeners might want to give that a second look if they've been discouraged in the past.
Absolutely. And I say that in the U.S. too, frankly, because we're adding between 2,000 and 3,000 books every month to Bookshare. Not all of those have rights all over the world, but many of them do. So yeah, please, if you said, oh, I didn't really find the stuff I was looking for, take another look.
So I gather Bookshare has a couple of new initiatives that you just announced at a recent conference. Can you talk about them?
for the last couple of years, you know, we have looked and said, hey, look, we need to make sure that not only are we supplying the content and working with really all the major assistive technology vendors out there, but we were getting feedback directly from our users about how they wanted to access our books. And you might remember about a year and a half ago, we launched Read2Go, which is on the iPhone and iPad platform, and that was overwhelming input from users.
We already highlighted that in a prior show of Eyes on Success.
Good, because it continues to be super popular. And we got great input then about wanting to go on Android. So we introduced last year Go Read on Android. So we're trying to really say there need to be options for different ways that people want to access books. Last year, we also introduced the ability to download directly from Bookshare Daisy Audio or MP3 so that you can, you know, if you really don't have a super smartphone, but you can listen to an audio file, that's great. And that's really great in developing countries as well. Now what we've introduced is we started getting more and more feedback about, you know, how can we just make this as easy as possible? So being able to, one, read the book right in my web browser, and two, have a bookshelf to store the titles that I'm going to want to read. And let me talk just a little bit more about these two new things. Our two new features we introduced in January at the ATIA conference, and they're the bookshelf, which allows a user to put books on one or more bookshelves. It allows teachers to say, you know, they may have a bookshelf for each student, or they may have, for example, an American history bookshelf, and then it allows them to more quickly say, okay, here's some books that we're going to study this semester, and I have four different students, and you can quickly say, these three need these two books, these four need these other books. It really makes the process for teachers supplying books to students quite a bit easier. And for individual users, it lets them then go in. A student could have a bookshelf that the teacher uses, and as long as they're also an individual member of Bookshare, they can go in and say, yeah, and I'm going to have my own bookshelf of my fun books I'm reading at home. That essentially means, you know, that we're storing that for you in the cloud. Some people are saying, you know, I just don't always want to download all the books I'm thinking about right at once. So the fact that I can just park it on the bookshelf and come back later and say, oh, yeah, I remember I wanted to read that. That's the kind of stuff we're hearing already. The other feature is our Bookshare web reader. It's based on open source software. We have added accessibility and, in fact, contributed that back to the open source project. That feeds into a lot of our strategies going forward and how we can help the whole industry do accessibility better. The web reader allows a user to essentially read the book right in a browser. It works in pretty much the major browsers you'd expect. In the Chrome browser, because of some work that they've done in Chrome, literally through just having an extension in the Chrome browser, you're not actually even downloading the book, you're streaming it. You can read the book right online with text-to-speech and word-by-word highlighting. And that is just built into the browser. These tools are completely free, and we are seeing movement from some of the other browser makers besides Google to add these sorts of capabilities into their browser as well. So stay tuned for more browsers that will have the built-in text-to-speech. If you're using the web reader in something, say, Mozilla Firefox or Internet Explorer 9 or Safari, you can still use it with a screen reader and read the text aloud. But in Chrome, you don't even need to have your screen reader going to use it straight in the browser.
So you do need a screen reader for these other browsers, but Chrome has that plug-in with its text-to-speech capability. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. One of the inputs we hear from users a lot is, oh, you know, I downloaded my file and I either can't remember where it is, or, you know, I'm on different machines. Sometimes I'm at school, sometimes I'm at home, and, you know, I'm online. I just want to read it now. And so literally the way in Bookshare that you read these books is we have the download options, but you can click read now. And basically that will tee it up in the web browser. So you can imagine being in your Chrome browser, looking for a book in Bookshare, pulling it up, hitting read now, and then a minute later, you're reading.
So this is essentially reading your book on the cloud. Does it enable you to keep your place among your various devices and put in bookmarks and those kinds of capabilities?
It allows you to keep your place. It's not yet really great on a whole array of devices. I mean, part of being on the leading edge of this, I'd say, is yes, you can use your Chrome browser, for example, on an Android phone. it's not working as well as we would like to see yet in terms of being completely every browser, every platform, particularly the mobile phone platforms. But yeah, if you are on, say, you know, your computer at school and then one at home, and you are then jumping around, it will save your place. We don't have a lot of features like bookmarks and note-taking and things like that. You know, our hope is by doing this as open source, we also encourage others to create some of those additional features as we go forward.
If somebody listening to this is sufficiently motivated to want to write the code to enable some of these features, how would they get involved in participating in the open source?
Oh, I love it. You're asking cool questions.
We have some pretty hot listeners that are very, very technically savvy, and I'm willing to bet there's a few out there who might just be willing to do this.
There are a few ways people can get involved on the code side. This is built on a project from the International Digital Publishing Forum called Readium. And as I said, we have not only introduced this so that it works really well with Bookshare as our Bookshare web reader, but we've contributed back some of the code that really makes the accessibility work well back into the Readium project. So we also have a project within Benetech called Social Coding for Good, where we invite people who are coders to work on projects that are our projects as well as other nonprofit projects. So it's quite plausible that even connecting up through our own volunteer area, we can say, oh, hey, you really want to work more on this particular tool? Let's see what we can do about that. We can add you into a project. So working in conjunction with us on it and working separately are both possible.
So it seems historically there always used to be a big tug of war between accessibility and publishers and putting things in alternate formats. But it seems like over the years you've forged some very good alliances with the publishers and other providers. Can you talk about how that all works out and what that enables you to do?
Yeah. What I keep describing to people now is we are at a really cool place in time. We have this opportunity where ebooks at a commercial level are booming. If you think back 6, 7, 8 years, and there was this small group of people using Bookshare, and nobody else knew what an ebook was, really. But now, you know, ebooks are quite common, and there are a lot of demands there that are demanding that publishers really completely change their whole mode of operating. So the fact that we come in, having been doing ebooks for a very long time, for a special purpose, but, you know, really it has put us very much, you know, on the front edge of the ebook world. And by having a lot of agreements with publishers, which we have an excellent content acquisition director who has convinced over 200 publishers to give us their books for free for Bookshare. But what that has meant is that we now have a lot of these great relationships, and publishers see us as somebody who, you know, give them feedback on the quality of their digital files regularly, and we understand where things are going. The new Bookshare web reader is actually reading EPUB 3 files, which is the newest digital publishing, you know, commercial standard that has been, you know, significantly influenced by DAISY and our partner George Kircher and the DAISY Consortium, which we're also a member of and I'm on the board of, has really helped make sure that accessibility has a secure place within EPUB 3. So all these things are coming together at once. And on the education side, you have the Common Core Standards in K-12, which are creating a lot of new opportunities for new materials in the education world. So all these things happening at once is a cool opportunity, and we find ourselves, because of our ongoing work with the publishing community, you know, really having an interesting seat at the table about accessibility, but in effect also just about some of the quality of digital files in general. We have started to receive EPUB 3 files from a couple of our partners within Bookshare, and they're literally asking us, so how do these look? Do they work well? And we also have publishers asking us, what do we need to do to make our new stuff accessible? And that is such an exciting question to get.
Now, Betsy mentioned the DAISY Consortium, and she's part of that. And we did a previous episode totally about the DAISY Consortium and the DAISY format, and that was number 1235. And earlier, she was talking about the Read to Go and Go Read app, and we did another show about those, which enable you to read Bookshare books on your iPhone or Android, respectively, and also some other apps that enable you to read books from other sources, like the Learning Ally or the Public Library, and that was show number 1242.
You know, it's amazing to think of how far Bookshare has come in the past 11 years since their inception. When you think of the early days, individual blind people, as Betsy mentioned, were just scanning books on their scanners connected to their computers. It made it possible to read many of these books that weren't available before. Of course, there were many mistakes because of the OCR. And these days, they forged all these collaborations that you talked about with publishers, so they're getting the electronic text directly, which makes the quality a lot better. They offer these in many formats. You can get things in electronic braille, DAISY, MP3, and just plain text formats. And it seems like every couple of months when I look on the Bookshare site, there's some new feature there, and they're just doing some great things.
Now for this week's high-tech segment, one more of Bookshare's initiatives, and this is their Diagram Center. You've mentioned the Diagram Center. Can you describe that a little bit more fully?
The Diagram Center is a research and development project. It's something that we've been doing for about 2.5 years. Essentially, we signed up to do work through funding from the Department of Education. The idea is to really revolutionize the accessibility of images and graphics, particularly in STEM educational materials. So that's science, technology, engineering, and math, because those subjects are so dependent on images and graphics. Clearly, it comes up in other topics as well, but it's pretty hard to get through a science course and not be able to see or deal with the images. We think technology can't do everything, but it can do a lot. So the Diagram Center is a 5-year project that we're just past the middle point of, and we are working with 2 partners that are our primary partners in the project. One of them is the U.S. Fund for DAISY, as in the U.S. side of the DAISY Consortium, with George Kircher, and with NCAM, the National Center for Accessible Media, out of WGBH in Boston, Larry Goldberg and his team. And together, we've pulled in something in the vicinity of about 50 people as a combination of advisors and people working on working groups that are really experts in the fields of image description, tactile graphics, people doing some really cool advanced work in smart images to say, okay, how do we solve this? The other area that we're taking on is math, and not just the images around math, but the problem is, you may be aware of this, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware of this, that often when you pull up math, the actual equations in a digital book today, you hear image. And there could be 50 equations there, and you're just going to hear image because those are represented as images. So really also working on MathML and math-related stuff is what we're doing in Diagram. And we're attacking it through really looking at making it easier, cheaper, and faster to do all of the work on the production and the consumption side of images. So we've done a lot of work on the standard side to kind of get that set so that when these new EPUB 3 format books come out, that there's actually a place to put things like an image description. We've done work on tools, because it's one thing to go to publishers and shake your finger and say you should make your images accessible. But if you don't say how to do it and don't help them out with some tools to make this process easier, you know, easier said than done. We also need to be aware that all kinds of users are creating content. So how do they also have the tools and training and understanding of creating those things in an accessible way? We have ongoing groups now that are focused in the tools area, the standards area, the content area, because of course there's a lot of content aspects of accessibility in images and math, and then outreach, because we know that we can do all the great things in the world, but if we don't tell people about it like we're doing here, then, you know, it may not be used.
So I haven't listened to any of these books with images in them, but I understand that you now have volunteers describing some of the images that are put into the Bookshare books. Is that right?
We do. Diagram is an R&D center. We created a tool, for example, called Poet. And Poet is a tool that allows bunches of folks to go in through a web browser and add image descriptions to a book. You can see the content around it. You can decide if the images need to be described. And what we've done is we said, well, for one, we have to test the tool. And I said, gee, I know we can test it with Bookshare. And I know that we have a cool volunteer program and can get a bunch of volunteers to try this out and give us feedback on the tool, as well as start to get, you know, more of this content described within Bookshare books. So we have somewhere in the vicinity of 400 volunteers at this point who are doing image description work through our Poet tool in books that then go back into the Bookshare collection with image descriptions in them. And if you go in the new web reader, for example, you can read the image descriptions. So it's really neat to be able to actually give value to users right away using some of these tools and standards we've created.
Is Diagram an acronym, or is that just a word?
It is a very long acronym. It stands for Digital Image and Graphics Resources for Accessible Materials.
Well, this is really exciting stuff. This is great. You know, once you get it so that the publishers are falling all over each other to say, hey, mine's more accessible than yours, you know, now you're making some serious progress. This is great.
We hope so. And part of what we do is try to say a lot of these cool features aren't just for accessibility. So it helps that some of us have come from a business background where it is important to look at large markets and making money, because, you know, we can typically sort of identify things like, if you have a good image description, your image is more discoverable. So a lot of times now, especially in education, you've got stuff stored in a database and they want to pull that image for a course, for a book, for a chapter. You got to be able to find it. And with a good image description, you have a lot more way to search that image. Rather than just adding some tags, you can actually now search the image description and really get precisely the image that you need, either as a user or as a producer. So that's a great example of where we're also selling the benefits of the accessibility to a much broader market. And I think that's going to make it happen more, because it's more in their interest to do it.
That's a good symbiotic relationship.
We like that. That's very true with MathML. It's very true with image descriptions. And we just need to keep reminding people that, frankly, accessibility often leads the way into some very useful things for everybody.
And if you'd like to find out more about Bookshare, become a volunteer, or sign up to receive books from them, go to their website, www.bookshare.org. And as usual, we'll have all the links and information you need that you may have missed in the show in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
And in particular, we will have links not just to the Bookshare homepage that Pete just gave the URL for, but also for Benetech, the parent company, and to some of their other programs, Route 66 Literacy and the Diagram Center. And we will have links to videos on how to use some of the tools that Betsy's been talking about. That's it for show number 1318. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about traveling around the world blind. Traveling to other countries can be a challenge, even if one is sighted. We'll talk with Tony Giles, who, despite being blind, travels alone around the world, including trips to some very distant and/or remote locations. He talks about some of the places he's been, some challenges he's had to overcome, and some of his truly wild adventures. I think you'll enjoy that show. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.